Our scripture reading today is Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is taken from Luke 10, 21 through 24. Jesus rejoices. At that very hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
A woman and a man got into a really bad car accident. Both cars were totaled, but luckily no one was hurt. After they crawled out of their cars, the woman said, Wow, just look at our cars. They are destroyed. Fortunately, we are not hurt. This must be a sign from God that we should meet and be friends and live together in peace for the rest of our days. The man replied, I agree with you completely. This must be a sign from God. The woman continued, and look at this. Here is another miracle. My car is completely ruined, but this bottle of wine did not break. It's a sign that God wants us to drink this wine and celebrate our good fortune. Then she handed the bottle to the man. The man agreed, opened the bottle, and drank half, and then handed it back to this woman. And woman took the bottle immediately, put the cap back on, and handed it back to the man. The man asked, Aren't you having any? The woman replied, No, I think I'll just wait for the police. No offense to women, of course. Speaking of wine, please rest assured that even though our United Methodist Holy Communion liturgy says bread and wine, we never use any literal real wine. We use 100% grape juice that contains zero alcohol. So after having attended any worship service involving Holy Communion, like today, you can always drive home safely and joyfully. Of course, our church, a United Methodist congregation, uses intinction and method, meaning you dip a piece of bread into the shared cup, then eat it. But some other churches might offer individual cups of a real wine, or maybe just juice, depending on their traditions. No matter how you celebrate and participate in Holy Communion, it should be one of your joyful and grateful moments in your church life throughout your faith journey as part of the body of Christ. Simply, it's not only a heartfelt reminder that God loves you so much, but also another prime reason to rejoice in God. Our Christian life is supposed to be and should be a delightful and joyful experience in every aspect, despite of any challenging circumstances that we are facing constantly. That's why we are called to be stronger and more resilient than ever. However, sadly, it has been a trend that a significant number of people turn away from religion, especially from Christianity, because their beliefs seem like a dirge, which means a song of grief or lamentation, rather than a beautiful and uplifting song. They stop coming to church because they feel that they are required to follow more rules and discipline rather than sharing happiness and joy. They are fed up with enough doctrines and irrelevant dogmas. They keep hearing more about fears and threat than about hope and comfort. They are sick and tired of the messages of hatred, instigation, and condemnation rather than the message of love, compassion, and grace. It is a sad reality that some people have lost the happiness of life because of their religious faith. However, on the other hand, there are countless people who have lost their happiness in life because they had no vital religious faith. So, we are to restore this joy founded in our active faith in Christ. The title of my sermon this morning, sermon series, the entire sermon series is Five Marks of a Methodist. Remember last Sunday we shared number one mark, a Methodist loves God. This morning, I'd like to share with you number two mark of a Methodist. It is a Methodist rejoices in God. Rejoicing in God is a very crucial and essential in our Christian life. Everyone wants to be happy, right? Unfortunately, it seems very hard to be happy these days. We are trying very hard to live and sustain and survive in these difficult times because we are so overwhelmed by so many reasons to be shocked, sad, and even angry. That's why last year, 2024, from July through September, I shared with you my sermon series on happiness. The sermon series title is Live Your Happy Life Today. There is a total of 11 sermons on happiness. If you have not listened to the whole sermon series in order, or have done so partially, or would like to watch the sermon video files again to refresh your memories, or for any other reasons, I highly recommend you watch them for the first time or again. All these sermons, video series are still available on our church website, firstchurchriverside.org. Thanks to our media and communication teams for your amazing ministries. So when you open our church's homepage, scroll down a little and click newsletters and videos, then you can find all 11 videos along with many other previous sermons stored. I pray that this sermon series on happiness will be meaningful and helpful for developing your own happy life. And I hope each title is intriguing for everyone. An introduction to a happy life. One life to live. Your happiness portfolio. Pale blue dot. What do you live by? The three most important questions in life. Number seven, the key to the good life. If you want happiness for a lifetime, grace alone and beyond, multiplying love and gratitude, and finally, rejoice and be happy is your move now. Throughout this sermon series on happiness, I began with a question, how to be happy? Then another question, what is the good life? Followed. Finally, I concluded the series with the last sermon, rejoice and be happy is your move now. Yes, in our lives, both worlds, happiness and joy, are indeed being used interchangeably in many general cases. However, even though these two words have similar meanings, they are different in nature and context. That's why throughout my sermon series, I tried to distinguish the word happiness from joy. I was trying to help you understand the term be happy to more biblical terms of be joyful or rejoice. Yes, I intentionally shared with you the difference between happiness and joy. After all, the Bible urges and guides us to be joyful rather than merely be happy. I have found an important quote by an unknown author regarding happiness and joy. Here we go. Quote, "The cross leads to joy and not just happiness. There is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a checkbook that has money, a car that works, a good date for Saturday night. Happiness is the absence of major hassles or terrorism or crime. Happiness is kids getting good report cards and spouses getting a raise. Happiness is something we know as enhancement or protection of our own lives. Joy comes in connection with another or with Jesus. Joy can happen without money or a working car. Joy happens when we get to the core of life and realize that love is at the core. Joy befriends us. Love accompanies us." Unquote. In this sense, these insights imply that while happiness is more like conditional, on the other hand, joy is unconditional. And after all, joy seems to be more biblical concept. Yes, no matter what circumstances or troubles you are going through, please keep in mind that your strength comes from the joy from God. Nehemiah proclaims, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Apostle Paul emphasizes the will of God in 1 Thessalonians. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This morning's scripture reading, the letter of Apostle Paul to the Philippians, is also called the Book of Joy. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Then the famous verses 6 and 7 follow as one of the practical applications of rejoicing in God. This is also one of my favorite passages of encouragement and guidance. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Interestingly, this morning's gospel lesson from Luke shows one of the rare occasions Jesus rejoices. Verse 21, at that very hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Of course, while sharing many parables, Jesus underlines that saving one sinner's soul is extremely precious and worthy. After having told the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Here, Jesus is emphasizing forgiveness, being forgiven, and eventually reconciliation. And this brings joy to both the one who forgives and the other one who is being forgiven through God's grace and love. Steve Harper, in his book, Five Marks of a Methodist, The Fruit of a Living Faith, writes, quote, we are God's forgiven and forgiving people. This reconciliation with God and with others is the source of our joy, unquote. Pursuing reconciliation so that we can be joyful might be challenging for many of us, especially in terms of interpersonal relationships. However, Jesus shows us how. From this morning's gospel passage, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Then he begins to pray to the Heavenly Father. I believe that this indicates an extremely crucial point. We can be also joyful in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us, guides us, and empowers us so that we can rejoice in all circumstances. The Christian author Gordon Eshelman once wrote the following prayer, quote, don't give us blessings, give us grace to be obedient to your every command and desire. Don't give us status, give us a place to serve. Don't give us things for our use, use us. Don't give us good jobs, put us to work. Don't give us pleasure, give us perspective. Don't give us satisfaction, teach us sacrifice. Don't give us entertainment, enable us. Don't give us good salaries, give us strength to do your will. Don't give us a mansion to live in, give us a springboard to take Christ's love to the whole world. And finally, our great joy is in pleasing our Lord. No other joy in life is comparable. Yes, number two mark is a Methodist rejoices in God. I would like to close my sermon with your story. It is told by Sundar Singh, a Christian missionary from India, from this book, Wisdom of the Sadhu. teachings of Sundar Singh. A mother once left her child for a time playing in the garden. When her little son noticed she was not there, he searched the whole garden over. He looked everywhere but could not find her. Finally, he cried and called out, but still she did not appear. The gardener saw him crying and tried to calm him, saying, "Do not cry. Look at these beautiful flowers and delicious mangoes. Shall I pick some for you?" But the child answered, "No, no, my mother has better food than these mangoes, and her love is far sweeter than all these flowers. I want my mother." When his mother heard these words, she rushed out, embraced him, and smothered him with kisses. At that moment, the garden became a paradise. This world is like a great garden full of wonderful and beautiful flowers, but we cannot find true joy in it until we meet God. Thanks be to God. Amen.